He didn't bring us this far to leave us. Amen? Hallelujah. The promises in the letter, he tells in that letter, he wants us to claim every one of them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's a good song to tie into my message this morning. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Well, we got a nice day. How many are glad you're here today?
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things that's so important that we remember is that no matter what happens, no matter what comes, we win. Amen? This mortal body must put on immortality. And that only happens when we go to be with Him, whatever way that is, through death or through being caught away. Hallelujah. Corruption must put on incorruption. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to say any more. I don't want to give my message completely away. God is good. Amen. And thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. I'm going to say that three or four more times inside me because that's very important that we understand that. He always causes us to triumph. You know, the Lord said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." See, I don't know about y'all, but I never caught that shadow part before. I knew it was there, and I knew what it said, but in Psalm 23, it says, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." How many know mountains, when you get down in a valley, cast shadows? But that shadow of death does not mean death. It's the threat. That's all it is an idle threat. Amen? Now, you've got to use wisdom when you're running around mountains and stuff, but the point is that God's there. He's already causing us to lie down in green pastures. He's already causing us to be by still waters. Amen? And He's promised us that His rod and His staff would comfort us. Amen? Glory to God. So, this morning, I'm excited. I thank God for His goodness and for confirming His word with signs and wonders following. Amen? Praise the Lord.
You know, last Sunday, I think it was last Sunday, maybe the Sunday before that, maybe one before that, Bill has stood up here behind this pulpit, and he said, "I'm having a rough time. I'm having a tough time." And I thought maybe he meant spiritually, maybe physically. I don't know. But he did confess to us that he was having a rough time. I didn't respond the way I should have. I didn't take it seriously. I didn't say anything to Bill. What's causing your rough time? Can you talk about it? I'll pray for you. I did none of that. And I don't know if anyone else did or not. But this morning, I just feel like we need to be sensitive to what other people say and how they feel and respond in a Christian way, the way God wants us to.
Amen. Amen. That was not solicited, but I thank you, Gene. Bless your heart. That goes for everybody. That's not just me. That's everybody. You know, we had the opportunity to minister to a woman in this church last week, and it was glorious. It was a blessing. We all have struggles, but the point is that we're supposed to be there for one another. Let the interests of others be our interests too. That's what the scripture says, paraphrased. That's the gospel according to Bill. Anyway, I thank you for that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But that, again, that's for everybody. Hallelujah. If there's no deeds to follow the love and to follow what we believe, then I think there's a scripture that says our religion is in vain. And I'll let it go with that. I've got the victory, folks. I go through. God carries me through. But there are some times when we have a struggle and we need to be sensitive to one another. Just, you know, just a call saying, "Hey, how you doing? What's going on?" Again, I did not solicit this. Jean will tell you, I didn't ask her to say anything. Praise the Lord. Reminds me of a song that you can sing in Spanish, but I'll sing it in English or just give you the words. It says, "God is so good, God is so good, God is so good, He's so good to me." Amen? Is He good to you? Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes, Heavenly Father, You are good to us. If You weren't good to us, Heavenly Father, we'd have no reason to even be here.
That's right.
But because You created us to worship You, and that's our purpose in life, that's what we want to do, Heavenly Father. We, each and every one of us, You know, we don't think about it all the time. We get caught up in the ways of the world and everything, and we forget that our purpose here is to worship you, Heavenly Father.
Yes.
And Jesus made that possible for us to do that. And that's what we're here to do today, Heavenly Father, to glorify and worship you in everything that we have and everything that we are, Heavenly Father. And we ask you to bless this offering that we're about to receive. And we return it all to you. It all belongs to you anyway. And we know that you will take what we return to you and multiply that over and over and over so that your kingdom can not only be built upon this earth, but continue.
Amen.
In Jesus' most precious name, we pray these things. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for your love. You are love. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for redeeming us, setting us free. That's who you are, Lord. You're the Redeemer. You're the Savior. You're our Lord. You're our King. Lord, right now we just surrender this time to you. We thank you for this time we've had together worshiping you, Lord. In Jesus' name we praise and thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, we yield control to the Holy Spirit again, still. Holy Spirit, have your way. Thank you for bringing the will of the Father into this house and into each life. Thank you for the word that you're going to reveal and expound on today by using this unworthy vessel, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for touching my tongue with a coal from off the altar of God. Holy Spirit, you minister this message. I'll be the voice as you've commanded. Touch the hearts of your people, Lord. For this we praise and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Hallelujah. You know, I want to make a statement before I go any further. You know, sometimes we get so busy in our own lives. We get so busy in the church. We get so busy doing things for God that we're really too busy for Him. And this morning I would suggest that we need to come out of ourselves and get into Him and make His things and His ways, His precepts, more important than our own. I'm not going to belabor this, but I just felt as we were singing the praises and worship of the Lord this morning, the songs that were played, you know, that, you know, it's easy to get caught up into just doing. Amen. And we need to remember whose we are and who we are. We're blood-bought, redeemed, set free children of the Most High God. Let's don't be busy at ministry. Let's be busy in ministry. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This will carry over to some degree from some of the things we've talked about the law and about, and bring some illumination, I believe, to the more important things and should raise, but it should do something in your heart that you just can't help but praise the Lord. And hopefully a change that will cause us to do just what I've just said. Come out of ourselves, get busy with the Lord, and not just, and busy in the Lord too. I guess that's an appropriate statement. Amen? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 58. Listen carefully. How many know that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God? Did you hear what I said? Do I need to say it again? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's why we are born again. We're born once of water and of blood, but then when Jesus comes, we become born in the Spirit, born of the Spirit. You know, if you think about it, Jesus was born of the Spirit, literally. Think about that. The Bible says that Mary was overshadowed by Jesus, or by the Holy Spirit. And that's how she conceived Jesus. There was no man involved except for mankind, which would be Mary. It was done by the Spirit of God. And what was done could not be done by just regular flesh and blood. But it had to be done by Jesus, who was the sinless, untainted Son of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because when you're flesh, before you know the Lord, you were born into corruption. And it goes on to say, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Flesh and blood can't inherit spiritual things. When you're born again, you become a spiritual being. Amen? And that corruption is cast off because you're now buried with Him, according to the Word. And for those of you who have made the decision to be baptized in water, what you've done is you have identified with that death and burial, and you understand that when you came out of that water, you came out in newness of life. So that corruption stayed there, and at that moment, spiritually, you became incorruptible. But we now need this made incorruptible so we can be in the presence of God. Amen? This tent, this body. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. In other words, we will not all die. Not in the way we think about it. But we shall all be changed. We're going to go on and explain that. Verse 52, it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. In other words, we're going to be changed from the corruptible to the incorruptible, from the mortal to immortality. We're going to read that as we go on here. Amen? This body of death will be no more, and we'll take on that spiritual body that allows us to stand in the presence of God. For incorruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen? If you know the Lord, when you are laid to rest, if you don't see the second coming of the Lord, that's not the end of it. Right there, when you're laid in the ground, that's when death is swallowed up in victory. Because once you become born again, you become an alive. If that Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it'll quicken, it'll make alive your mortal bodies. Amen? And so when you go in that ground, death is swallowed up in victory because you're not dead. You can't be killed. I'm not talking about physical, I'm talking about spiritual. And then the question is asked, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, or O grave, or hell, where is your victory? Listen, the sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who always causes us, thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah. The key here, this key scripture behind this, is because we have become a spiritual being and because we know that death is swallowed up in victory. Amen? Jesus' death on the cross took care of death in the flesh. I mean, that doesn't mean you may not see the grave. But what it means is you won't stay in the grave. Amen? That'll just be this physical tent, this physical body that we have. We are triune beings, just as God is triune. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But we're triune beings also. We are a body. Excuse me, we are a spirit. We are a spirit. We possess a soul, and we live in a body. Now, the Bible says we're created in His image and likeness, and that's part of it. Amen? In Jesus dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it doesn't make any difference what comes our way. It doesn't make any difference what happens, what calamities, what situations arise in our life. Let me make a statement here. We need to be so tenacious that if we win, we praise Him. And if it doesn't look like we're winning, we praise Him. Amen. Amen. We need to give glory in everything and give thanks in everything. Why? Because the Bible says this is the will of God. You don't know the will of God? This is the will of God. Give thanks in everything because it's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and I. Amen? Hallelujah. And when we purpose in our hearts, no matter what, I don't know if any of you saw it, but on TBN Friday or Saturday night, I think it was Friday night, they showed in its entirety, I don't know the title of the film, but it was another one of those films in the series of Fireproof and Courageous. And the guy who played the deputy in Courageous and the preacher who delivered the marriage ceremony for Kirk Cameron and the lady who played his bride when they rededicated their lives. He was paid to play the preacher, but he played the coach in this. And this film is dedicated and is recommended and endorsed by Coach Dan Reeves. And my son, I was sitting there just giving glory to God because my son was sitting watching it and he was getting the benefit of this film. See, God's sneaky. He'll get you one way or another. You know, we do things for the dumbest reasons. That's because we still live in this corruptible flesh. But the corruptible flesh is not what God sees when He sees us as believers. It's the immortal, the incorruptible, that spiritual rebirth, the blood of Jesus that covers us that God sees when He sees us. And that makes all the difference in our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. But in this film, things were going wrong. And that's one of the things that they said that he came up with. I mean, I didn't understand this at first. When I first saw this, I just glanced over and I saw a guy walking around and he was walking kind of almost like he was holding onto the wall with a book in his hand. And quite frankly, I thought the guy was blind. But what that guy was doing was going through that high school praying over every locker in that school. Now, this coach and his wife were great people. But they had some situations in their life obstacles that, quite frankly, some of us might have really, really, really struggled with and might have hindered us in some way. They wanted desperately to have a baby. She wanted a baby. And she was grieving inside over a baby that she never met. She missed him and she's never even seen him. And it turned out he was the one who, for the moment, could not have children. Their car was about to fall apart. He was lucky if he got it onto the grass in front of the house, let alone in the driveway or in the garage. And then to top it all off, one night he's walking down the halls locking up for a gentleman, and he walks by a room where there's a father and who's there and a bunch of people and even two of his own very staff. Talk about betrayal and feeling like you just got knifed. And they're talking about getting rid of him and one of the other coaches taking over. And instead of running and crying, I mean, yes, he went home and explained to his wife and he was remorseful. He couldn't understand. He was hurt. But instead of running and staying in that position, he went to the Word of God. He began to study and to look. And when he went back out on the field after this night of study and days of study, I imagine, one day this gentleman who was going through the hallways praying over the lockers, speaking the word over those lockers, came out to him and gave him a word from God for him. And he took it to heart. And he changed, it changed his life. I mean, no, the word will change your life. The word is Jesus. Read your Bible, John 1:1. And it changed his life. And it so radically transformed his life that he took what he had been hearing from God, what he had been studying, and he went into the locker room with it and took it to these guys who were dejected and beat down because they couldn't win a game. There was one young man who was a kicker. He was very good with the ball, soccer and other kinds of balls. And he wanted so to play on the football team. His dad was crippled. He was in a wheelchair. I don't know what the malady was. It doesn't make any difference. The point was that his dad loved him and he loved God so much that he would actually go to the sidelines when the young man did get to kick and he would hold up his arms. And what would happen, because this young man lacked confidence, when he kicked, it'd go to the left or to go to the right. He couldn't get it down the middle. But when his dad encouraged him and when he began to see and he began to enter in, knowing the things of God and taking to heed what the coach was saying from the Scripture, it radically transformed the entire team. So much so that there was one young man who was very disrespectful to his dad. I think that was probably because his dad was always so busy that it didn't really seem like he had time for him. And one day the coach went to him and he talked to him and he talked to him very frankly, but in love. That young man gave his life to the Lord, changed, and he wanted the coach to take him. He needed a ride to go see his dad. He wanted to go see his dad at work. He walked in on a meeting that his dad was having with another man. And he walked in and he said, "Dad, I want you to know that I respect you. I want you to know that I love you, and I'm sorry for all I've done." The man said, "Well, you know, let me step out," and everything. His dad said, "No, that's okay. You can stay right here." And it so touched the dad. And of course, in the process, the combined conference, you know, the meeting that he was having, that this boy's dad was having with his other gentleman, this other gentleman stopped and he said, "Look," he said, "it's none of my business, but I'd give anything. I'd give anything to hear my son say that to me." That's being radically changed. That's the radical grace of God. That's the radical infilling of the Spirit of God in your life. Where you come to an end of yourself and you put others before you and you do what God expects you to do. And one of the things that they dwelled on, they had drilled into them, is if we win, we'll praise Him. If we lose, we'll praise Him. Now we're talking about a ball game here. We're not talking about the game of life. We're talking about a ball game. God's already working on some folks. It is a wonderful movie. It is a wonderful. I'd never seen it, and I was glad to see it. When I got it, I was glued to it. What's that? That's right. That's a ball team on by, you know, the term is multi-purpose, functional. Because they're talking about the team, the Giants, who had won the state championship for 3, 4, 5 times in a row. And here's this little team that comes out of nowhere and blows everybody off the face, including this arrogant upstart coach. By upstart, I'm not talking about a young man. I'm talking about a man who was arrogant, thought he was everything, thought he could be, he was unbeaten and nobody could touch him. And then God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it changed the team. And as it changed the team, it changed the young man who was the kicker. And his dad decided that he would sit on the sidelines, like I told you, and put his arms up like this, sitting in that wheelchair. Go for the goal. Go for the goal. And the young man began to kick straight and true. He put aside his inhibitions. He put aside what he considered were his shortcomings and his lack of ability. and traded it in for the ability of God. And God made him a star kicker. Now, don't get hung up on God choosing one team over the other. The point is, God honors you when you honor Him. Amen? And the key scripture that we read is verse 58. It says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast." In other words, don't waver. Be steadfast. Immovable. Always abounding. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. How many know we're running this race in life, and one of these days we're going to hit the finish line? And at that moment is the moment that we win, because that's when this race is over. Amen? You can't lose. But the thing is, you have to have the integrity and the principles of God in your life. You have to desire to please God with all of your heart. You have to love Him with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Everything that's within you, you need to love God. And you need to do what He tells you to do. And He's not going to tell you to do something that it was beyond your ability. Or that if it is beyond your ability, He'll be there to supernaturally extend your ability. Amen. You missed a good place to say amen. He'll extend your ability. So we need to be so completely consumed by the Word of God and by the presence of God and by our relationship with God that it can be said of us that we are steadfast. We are immovable. We are always abounding. Always abounding. Not just once in a while, but always abounding in the work of the Lord. Family of God, that could be in your own home, your own children, your own spouse. Amen? And it needs to also extend into corporate, the body of Christ. Not just doing good outside, but doing good inside the body of Christ. There are needs. Now, I want to say something to you this morning. I didn't plan to say this, but I've thought it many times. And I guess this morning, I guess God's saying it's okay to say it. You know, those of you who are married, you have a blessing. No, I'm telling you, you have a blessing. You don't understand what a blessing you've got. Because you've got somebody that can stand with you and turn with you and pray with you and encourage you right there at your side all the time. And you need to give honor to that individual. Anyway, needless to say, when this ball team began to play, they won a few. They lost a few. But they got to the playoffs. They went in the playoffs and beat the team. Again, they kind of had the idea that they would beat them. But when it came to this other team, I mean, they were ready to give up. And the coach went to them at halftime. They were down by I don't remember how many points. And he said, "Are you going to give up? Did you come in here with the attitude that you can't do it? Because when you have an attitude like that, that's what you're going to manifest and that's what's going to come to pass. But if you come in with the attitude," and I don't know if they use this scripture, but the Holy Spirit just reminded me. It says, "Do all things to the glory of God." And you know the cool part of that? He's the one working in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. And they went on and won that ball game. Now, through the course of the story, what I didn't tell you is they had been trying and trying. And his wife had been going to the doctor and trying to see, and there was really nothing wrong with her. So finally he went after, you know, a session of tears, he and his wife both. His whole life was falling apart. About to lose his job. His car died. You know, he had to go and ask this other coach for a jump. Imagine the humbleness that you'd have to go through to do that. Being humbled like that. They got the car home. Anyway, after hearing all this, he went home and he told his wife, "Man, I think they're going to fire me." And of course, they shed some more tears because it looked like everything in their life was falling apart. Everything. I'm not talking about just a little calamity or a little problem here or a little problem there. Everything in their life was falling apart. They couldn't have children. He was about to lose his job. His team wasn't doing as good as they could have. And he desperately wanted them to win. Not for his own glory or so he could pat himself on the back or so people would point and say, "Man, isn't he something?" Because he genuinely cared about the young men on the team. At one point, one of the biggest guys who was a leader, they were doing exercises and everything, and he gave up. At the end of the exercise. And the coach began to instill in him, "I need all you got. I need all you got. Give me everything you got." So he got down on his hands and his feet, and he was only supposed to crawl 50 yards. But he did it with supposedly a 140-pound man, another teammate, on his back. And he pushed, and he pushed, and the coach was there coaching him and cheering him on. "Give me all you got. Don't you quit on me. Don't you quit on me. Keep going, keep going." That's what Jesus is doing in our lives right now. He's there saying, "Keep going, keep going. Don't give up. Don't give in. Keep going. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you." And before it was over, when the guy finally had to give up the last, he was saying, it's burning. "I can't do it, coach. I can't do it." He says, "Don't you give up on me. Don't you give up. Keep going, keep going, keep going." He'd crawled the entire length of the field and he was right just beside the goalpost. And at the end, he said, "You just carried a 140-pound man." And the young man that was standing there that he had carried down the field says, "Coach, that's 160 pounds. He was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that he could ask or think. He didn't know what he had in him. Through the grace of God, he made it. And he made it there. He became one of the greatest leaders of that football team in that high school. A man who was respected and looked up to. And in the second half, after they were being trounced, because these guys were big. They were almost, in some cases, twice the size of these other high schoolers. And they were out for blood. But this other team was covered in the blood. And by the grace of God, after the halftime, they went that extra mile. They didn't give in and they didn't give up and they won the game. I don't remember if it was only 1 point or 2 points. Donna's not here. Patrick can tell us. I don't know if he remembers. I don't remember how, but it's not important. They won. And this other coach that was the stinker on the Giants team couldn't understand. He was just, how'd this happen? But the whole time, the picture and the vision that was there that they talked about, these Giants. But here's this little team, which to me depicted David. And David once again thrashed the giant. Or the giants. Amen? They literally walked in verse 58 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. "Therefore, my beloved," do you hear the tenderness in the heart of God? "My beloved, my loved one, the one who's worth more to me than all in the world." Do you know we are the pearl of great price to Him? Is He the pearl of great price to us? Is He worth our effort? Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast." That word steadfast means firmly fixed in place or immovable. Not subject to change. Firm in belief. Firm in determination, and firm in adherence, or basically, loyal and faithful. And the word immovable is incapable of being moved. Not moving, or not intended to be moved. Steadfast, unyielding, not capable of being moved. And if you think about it for a minute, if you look in the concordance, your Strong's Concordance or your Young's Concordance, you'll find that those two words are pretty much synonymous. It's the same number in the scripture, in the concordance. They're exactly synonymous. And then finally, always abounding in the work of the Lord. knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. How many have ever heard the story about have patience, little donkey, have patience? I got him on the edge of his seat. For the first time in my life, I've got Harry on the edge of his seat. Must be God. Abounding means to overflowing. Means overflowing. Replete. Rife. You got a dictionary. Look up those words if you don't know what they mean. Swarming. Teeming. Thronged. Abounding means full. Jammed. Packed and stuffed. Now, I don't want to disappoint Harry, but what happened in the end is they went... Well, let me tell you what else happened too, and I forgot about this. In the process, after this young boy went to his dad and apologized and made it right with his dad and began to show him the respect that his dad deserved when he disrespected him completely, for whatever reason, probably because he worked too much, he was never there, he and his dad went out and pushed that car out of their driveway that was dead, took it away. He went to work, and he came out looking for his car, and he was so busy talking to one of the other coaches who was a Christian. And what was amazing, too, is on the field, even the other coaches began to use the word to stimulate and motivate the team. And the coach is just standing back going, uh-huh. But he walked out, and he was looking for his car, and he says, hey, where's my car? I said, what do you mean, where's your car? Where'd you leave it? He says, I left it right here. There was a brand new red Ford F-150 crew cab that this boy's dad bought him and gave to him for his family. My God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But you know the cool part? If you're always steadfast and immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord, You don't get worried about when the miracle is going to happen or when the blessing is going to happen. You just get caught up in the work of the Lord, and then God, out of nowhere, just there's the blessing. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen. Well, in the process, his wife, the last time, went to the doctor. I mean, this man was so blessed. There was a note there, this is for you. And I can't remember all the other words on the note, but this is for you. And they never ever told him where it came from. Never told him once. There was not an expectation behind it. It was a blessing from God to a man of God who humbled himself and yielded to God and to the Lord and to the things of God and taught his team, his own team that he was responsible for, the same principles. You think God will bless somebody like that? Bless the team? You bet He will. Because God's first. Because they're not ashamed. Amen? They're not ashamed of the gospel, and they're not ashamed of God. They're not ashamed of Jesus. Anyway, she goes in, and what you see her sitting there. And the nurses get the report from the tests. She's not pregnant. And you see her put her face in her hands. One of the last things he told the team, he said, if we win, we're going to praise Him. If we lose, we're going to praise Him. And the coach took that to heart. Anyway, she got the bad news, what seemed like bad news once again. And of course, you know, you're thinking, God, this can't end this way. This just can't. She went out and got in what was a brand new, it looked like either Expedition or, what's the other one? Not the Explorer. Yeah, the Explorer. Expedition or Explorer. Brand new Ford Explorer. So they had two cars. They never say where the second one came from. Well, in the process, after he did all these things and the team began to change, he got a $6,000 raise. That sound like God to you? You need to remember what the Scripture says. You and I have never seen. Let me ask you that. Have any of you ever seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread? Honestly, be honest now. Amen. No, I never have. I've seen some people go through some contortions because they think, dear God, is it ever going to happen? And they think God's forgot about them. But He always comes through. Did you hear me? He always comes through. Always comes through. Anyway, she's out getting in her truck, getting ready to back out. Her nice SUV, getting ready to back out. And the nurse gets this report and she looks and she goes, oh, there's been a mistake. She goes running out. The lady gets out of her truck and she's going. And then all of a sudden she breaks down. And you know what the word is. You're pregnant. He wasn't able to have children physiologically. But God. But God. She gets home, and after the game where they win, he's there, and of course he's praising God. And one of the last things he said was something to the effect, Donna, help me with this. He said to the team, I think it was again saying, you know, if we win, we praise him, and if we lose, we praise him. It was in words of encouragement anyway. So he went home, and his wife was sitting there all smug and smiles and just almost probably beside herself, sweating drops of blood. You know, man, I want to tell him. I just want to tell him. And he comes home, and she drops the bomb. And she's pregnant. And he remembers the words that he spoke to the team to encourage them. Family of God, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen. The final scenes that you see is her coming out of the kitchen, wearing a maternity blouse, and him sitting there playing with his oldest son. She was pregnant again. Does that sound like God to you? Amen. Amen. I don't care how tough it gets, what you think you're going through, God's there. Make up your mind to be steadfast, immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. And while you're doing that, and all the stuff seems to be crashing around you, remember that God's right there walking with you, working it out for you, and taking you through it. You're not just going through it by yourself. He's taking you through it. Amen? The Holy Spirit just reminded me of a song we used to sing. Salvation is a thing that money can't buy. The rich will have it and the poor will die. It's so high, you can't get over it. It's so low, you can't get around it. It's so low, you can't get under it. It's so wide, you can't get around it. So go right through the door. It says, if salvation were a thing that money could buy, the rich would have it and the poor would die. Amen. But God's no respecter of persons. What he did for everybody. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you faced in your life. I don't care what you're facing right now. Be committed to God. And know that God is committed to you. And that what you send your hand to do, God gives you the ability and walks with you through it. He's your co-laborer. Co-laborer. And the cool thing is, he doesn't leave your side. Amen? Hey, the Scripture says he's a friend that what? Sticks closer than a brother. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I encourage you today, put God first. Remember how to spell joy. How many remember how to spell joy here? And you. What a wonderful way to spell joy. Amen. Hallelujah. What's that? He said, Jesus and others and you. That spells joy, doesn't it? Praise God. You know what's amazing is as I was sitting there last night, okay, God, what are we going to do? You know, it's getting down to the final hours. I'm getting weary. And all of a sudden, he spoke that scripture into me. Just those words. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And that's where this message came from. And I don't know about y'all, but I kind of think it was a timely message. Did anybody get blessed here? Praise the Lord. We need to always, part of that being steadfast is always remembering to pray for one another. Always remembering to be concerned about one another. And you can't do that if you're so tied up in your own life and the own things you're doing that you know. Sometimes we go through the motions. It feels good to us and we think, boy, well, this is really good, you know, just by doing things. But are we really listening to that still small voice of God's, this is the way, or turn to the left. He tells you a righteous man's steps. That's you. Why? Because the righteousness of God dwells in you. A righteous man's steps are ordered by the Lord. They're directed by God. Amen? Hallelujah. I've had to stop and examine my life and see where I've missed the mark here a little bit. Maybe a lot in some cases. But I've made my determination this morning that my focus is going to be, with the help of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter that Jesus sent, promised and He sent, to be mindful of the things going on in others' lives more than I ever have been before in my life. Not just when I know there's a need, but just call up and say, hey, how are you doing today? How's things going? What's God doing for you in your life? Whether it's a phone call or seeing you in person, taking the time just to visit with you. Amen. Aren't we His ambassadors? So starting today, let this be the first day of the rest of your life where you give everything to Him. You really give yourself to Him. No reservations. See, sometimes when we get into situations and things or things happen, we start to get a little selfish and we back off. We get only concerned about those things that involve us or that are in our interest. Family of God, Jesus was going to the cross. He knew, even though those around Him didn't know, what He faced. And He went anyway. And the only thing you ever heard Him say out of place, or that sounded out of place, and it was not, it was revealing to mankind that He was human like you and I. But He was the Son of God because He did not sin and go any further than just say, Father, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me. And really what He was saying, God, it's in your hands. Amen? It's in your hands. Nevertheless, not what I want, Lord, but what You want. But He knew that God had a plan to redeem you and I, to restore fellowship and right relationship with us, with Him. And yet He never complained about where He was going or what He was doing. He always went about doing good, obeying the will of the Father. Jesus was not concerned with Jesus. Jesus was concerned with you and I the same way the Father is. Jesus imitated the Father the same way we're supposed to imitate Him. Amen? Praise the Lord. If you need prayer today, I hear the Holy Spirit reminding me to tell you that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. This is not a message of condemnation. This is a message of victory and power and love of God. Remember that if your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. In other words, He'll take care of it. Cast your care on Him because He cares for you. I mean, how many more do I have to say? Do you get the message? Do you get the picture? God is for you. He's never, ever, or will He ever be against you. Whew. That's overwhelming. I see and feel the things that happen in my life daily, the things that are going on right now even. How easily I'm caught up in those things and begin to have stinking thinking. Yeah, stinking thinking. And I see the glory and the power and the love of God. All I can do is get on my knees and say, God, forgive me. See, this message was for me as much as for you. God's good. All the time. And all the time He is good. He loves you and I. And He doesn't put these things in the book saying, I hope you can live up to it. I hope you can make it someday. He says, come on. We'll go together. We'll go together. And we'll conquer these things. See, His strength is evident in our weakness. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Walking hand in hand, that friend that's closer than a brother. Amen. I'm reminded of the song that says, if you think you can make it by doing good works, you're just fooling yourself. If you think you can make it by going to church, you're just fooling yourself. It's not that. It's letting the love of God and the life of God come through you, even when you're facing what seems to be imminent death. Amen. Hallelujah. And knowing in your spirit, by the Holy Spirit, you are more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. Amen. Hallelujah. If you need prayer, please let us know. If you want to come forward, we'll pray for you. Amen. Amen. Gee, it must be tough, huh? Okay. Okay. Well, put your hands towards Kathy. Father, You know all of the details. We don't need to know them, but You know them, Lord. So, Lord, I lift up Kathy and Jerry, Lord, and I thank You for the strength that she has through the knowledge of You, Lord Jesus, in her life. And I thank You, Lord, that she's going to be that pillar that stands fast. She'll not succumb to emotions. There'll probably be some, but Lord, she'll not succumb to them. She'll look to You, who is the author and the finisher of her faith. And Lord, as this situation comes to fruition, Lord, I thank You, Lord, that You said we're not to suffer loss. And You said that our latter days would be greater than our former days, Lord. So I thank You that this is going to work out for good because she loves You. You're building character in her. You're building strength in her. You're making her the pillar that You desire for her to be in Your kingdom. So, Lord, we just pray for peace. We pray for safety. We pray for joy and Your knowledge to be evident and Your will to be evident and Your presence to be evident in everything from the time they leave the driveway, get on the plane, go and come home through this, Lord. Lord, if You want to do a miracle, we accept that, Lord. But it's a miracle either way because Your supernatural intervention is involved. So we anticipate, we expect Your supernatural intervention in this, Lord. Whatever You want for her, Lord, which is blessings and not cursings, we're for that, Lord, and we agree with that in Jesus' name. We thank You for this life, we thank You for the testimony, and we thank You for the things that You carried her through, Lord. We're going to do it one more time, Lord. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name.
And Kathy does. She is steadfast, immovable, abounding, always abounding in the work and the knowledge of God. In Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Not only that, she's going to be a blessing wherever she goes. She's going to touch the hearts of people. Father, you know Michelle better than any of us could ever know her. In fact, even better than she knows herself. Because you saw her before the foundations of the world. You knew her before the foundations of the world. You had every hair on her head numbered, Lord. You have it numbered. And Lord, she's trying to make amends and do the right thing, Lord. Not to please people, but to please you, Lord. Because you're the answer. You're the answer. So Lord, right now I lift up this situation. I thank you, Lord, that she will find favor before these men because she finds favor in your eyes, Lord. Lord, it's not easy for her. We know that. So Lord, we just pray for extra strength. We pray for the peace of God and the power of God to rest on her so that through it all, she senses and knows your presence in her life through this situation. And Lord, we thank you for the outcome being a blessing to the kingdom of God and to her. She's part of the kingdom, Lord. We thank you that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And Lord, what we did in our past before we decided to serve you, Lord, it's dead and gone. Paul asked, what are you talking about? I've hurt no one. I've put my hand on no one. Because he wasn't Saul anymore, he was Paul. Redeemed, sanctified, justified, blessed by you, Lord, and called by you. He wasn't lying. He knew that the old man was dead. The sin was buried in the deepest sea, removed from him as far as the east is from the west. And so, Lord, right now we thank you for this redeemed, blood-bought child of God who's asked you to come into her life and be her redeemer and her strength and her Lord. Now, Lord, we ask you to redeem her. In Jesus' name, in this situation. We thank you for the good report. We'll believe no other report. You can't touch what God's blessed, Satan. You can't touch what God's blessed. You can't curse what God has blessed. The Word of God says that to us. So we stand on that right now in behalf of and touching the situation with Michelle. In Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. You're going to reveal yourself to her through this. We give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Are all hearts clear? And Father, right now, we just thank you for this day. Father, we ask you to bless this wedding that Bob and Karen have gone to, Lord. We ask you to intervene, to show yourself strong. Let them be a blessing there, Lord. Let them not withhold, but give up the knowledge of God as they're there, Lord, as you direct them. Let lives be touched in Jesus' name, and let this be a union that stands in you. And Lord, draw them. I know you're drawing them anyway, this couple, Lord, to you. Radically change their lives by your radical grace, Lord. For that we praise you and we thank you and give you glory and honor. Now, Lord, we sanctify the food and the fellowship this morning. I thank you for every person that's here. I thank you that your face shines upon them, that your grace abounds in them, that goodness and mercy follow them all the days of their life, and they will dwell in the house of the Lord forever in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen. Be blessed.